The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Sometimes you have the privilege of having a guest on the program who really is what we call a legend. And I would never say this if he were here because I wouldn't want to embarrass him. But the person that I'm going to interview in a couple of seconds, some of you know all about him. If you don't, you will very soon. His name is Ricky Skaggs. He is a legend in the music industry. He has 15 Grammy Awards. In 1982, he was the youngest member ever at that time to be inducted into the Grand Ole Opry. When he was 6 years old, the father of bluegrass, Bill Monroe, picked this six-year-old out and said, would you play for us? He went on to become a seven-year-old, playing with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. There's videotape of it. In 1971, when he was still extremely young, teenager, went off to play with Ralph Stanley in his band. By about 1980, country legend Chet Atkins credited him, my guest Ricky Skaggs, with saving country music. Have you heard enough? He has played, performed, produced with Barry Gibb, Emmylou Harris in the 70s, produced Dolly Parton, worked with Bruce Hornsby and the Amana Radar Range. In 2021, the President of the United States gave him the National Medal of Arts. Again, I wouldn't say this if he was here in the studio, but he is a legend, and I'm very embarrassed to say I think this is he's right here in the studio. I never would have said this, Ricky, if I knew you were sitting here. Yeah. Ricky, my new friend, welcome.
It's great to be here, Eric. I was sitting there listening to you make all these nice things, and we could be talking about all kinds of other things. So anyway, I appreciate it, and you're a man of honor.
I made a lot of this stuff up. I just want my audience to know. This couldn't be true.
So I'll have to live up to the things that you said.
When you were 6 years old, now, you're in your late 60s now. So when you were 6 years old, which would put us back about 1960, you played with Bill Monroe. That is very hard to comprehend.
I know. My dad bought me a mandolin when I was five, and so I learned.
Why did he do that?
I had been singing in church with him and mom since I was like 3 years old.
And this is in old Kentucky.
In Kentucky. And we would sing songs together at home, and then when we go to church, we'd get up and they would set me on the pulpit, and I would sing harmony with mom and dad.
They would set you on the pulpit.
Yeah.
See, up here we'd say, put you up on the pulpit, but down there they would set you on the pulpit. That sounds better. That sounds more American. But you, the reason I'm saying this is you obviously at that time already had a gift for harmonizing. You could hear and sing. And so they knew that they needed to encourage us. So your dad at age five gets you a mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
And already at age six, Bill Monroe is taking notice of you.
Well, mom and dad and I would play at church, like I said. And then dad and I would go to this little local grocery store there in Blaine, Kentucky. And they would set me up on the pop case, that had that.
So it wasn't a pulpit, it was the pop case.
The pop case, that's the marketplace version.
Right.
Yeah, so I was getting my teeth ready for the marketplace back then. But I would sit and play and sing, and people would want to get a Coke, so I'd have to scoot over, and they, you know, it was a double door. And
look, you were so cute. Yeah. I saw the video of you. I saw with Flat and Scruggs, which people can look up on YouTube. But I mean, you were so darn cute at age 7. And when he says, "What's your name?" and you say, "Ricky Skaggs," it's so cute. It's unbelievably cute. But even cuter is the song you sing.
Yeah.
Because for a 7-year-old to sing a song about a broken heart and a woman who left me is funny.
Yeah. I didn't understand those things back then. I just liked the song. And
the song was?
Ruby, are you mad at your man?
Ruby, oh, Ruby. I mean, to hear
Honey,
that little
are you mad at your man?
Yeah. And the 7-year-old singing it while he's playing.
And that's
his
what
mandolin.
I sung with the Bill Monroe thing. You know,
Ruby,
it was a hit.
Are you mad at your man?
And, you know, the neighbors in the hood at this little high school where Bill Monroe was playing, you know, they started shouting out after half hour of Mr. Monroe's set. They started shouting out, let little Ricky Skaggs get up and sing, you know. And my dad didn't plant these people, I promise you, you know. And anyway, I didn't even take a mandolin with me. So the irony of the whole thing is that I had to play this size mandolin.
You had to play.
I had to play his mandolin.
You
when
played
he finally,
Bill Monroe's mandolin when you were 6 years
six
old.
6 years old, and I, you know,
not many people can say that.
He took the strap around and, you know, wrapped it around the curl here so that it would fit me.
Right.
Set it on me, and I said, you know, they said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Ruby." And so it was a popular song by the Osborne brothers, Bob and Sonny Osborne. And so away we went, you know, and, you know, no mistakes, no, you know, I didn't flip out, didn't faint or anything, fall on the floor, didn't drop his mandolin.
Well, you were too young to be self-conscious probably.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was, you know.
If you were 11, you would have just freaked out.
I probably would have. But he sent me back off stage and then did his big famous Mule Skinner Blues just to rat me, show me up. No, I don't know that for sure. But I just, you know, the crazy thing about that is when I became a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame, they wanted me to take out of the – they got some instruments in a place in the Country Music Hall of Fame Museum called – the precious jewels. They have Earl Scruggs' banjo. They have Maybelle Carter's famous archtop guitar.
They still have that?
Yeah. They have Bill Monroe's F5 mandolin in the case. So they took it out for me.
Do they have Mother Maybelle's tortoiseshell combs?
Maybe.
I'm just kidding. Who knew that?
Unless
you're sitting here, I wouldn't know that they would have these objects. These are like sacred relics.
But they let me play that same mandolin that I played when I was 6 years old. He kept that mandolin all his life. He got it in 1945, found it in a barber shop in Miami, Florida. Of all places, you know, to be in Miami, Florida, walking the streets, just out walking around, and happened to look in a barber shop with thousands of barber shops in Miami, Florida.
So Bill Monroe found it in 1945,
and went in and bought it for $200, and
used it for the 15 years until he met you. Then he lets you play it. He keeps playing it, and today it still exists.
Yeah, it does. And was busted up, and still, you know, somebody Gibson put it back together meticulously, but. It's amazing, and it just brought back so many memories, and it almost closed a door or closed a season of my life, you know, to play that mandolin at 6 years old and then get to play it again going into the most famous.
When did they induct you into the Country Music Hall of Fame?
2018.
So they waited way too long. Shame on you. No, it's almost funny to me because it is, you know, you – listen, if in 1980 – Chet Atkins, the legend, you know, credits you with saving country music from the commercialization that it was undergoing because of the urban cowboy fad and John Travolta hiss. But it's just kind of funny to me because you've been in this world, you know, forever. The idea that you were playing with Ralph Stanley when you were just a kid, what was it, 1971? So you're like 17. Were you still in high school? I mean, you're still in high school.
Yeah.
Did you graduate?
No, I wanted to go to the Stanley School of Music, so I wanted to stay. We started, Keith Whitley and I started when we were 16 and played the summer with Ralph, and then we had to go back to school. And, you know, Ralph wanted us to go get our education, and I thought, man, this is the education I want right here, you know.
I think a lot of people understand. Folks, I'm talking, in case you're just tuning in, this is Ricky Skaggs sitting here. We will continue the conversation on all kinds of subjects. Don't go away. This is your sweet daddy, don't you love me no more? It's cold outside, let me sleep on the floor. Honey, won't you open that door? In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. It's hard to grasp why anyone would keep voting for record inflation, skyrocketing crime, and an open border. Likewise, why would anyone keep funding the left by sticking with the big carriers? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they want to make it easy for you to try their service. Give them 60 days to show you why I trust them. Right now, when you try Patriot Mobile for 2 months, get your third month free, plus get free activation. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks and use the same towers as all three of the major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call their 100% U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. If you're fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values, support a company that does. Make the switch today and get a free month of service plus free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Eric. That's PatriotMobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT. Welcome back. I am talking to my new friend, Ricky Skaggs. He's a man of profound faith and insane level talent, and we're just talking.
Yeah.
We're not a picking and a grinning, but maybe later on you'll be a picking and I'll be a grinning
because
I see that you have a mandolin sitting here with us.
I do.
So we can... We'll just tease that so people stay tuned in here. All right, so listen, you've won 15 Grammy Awards. You've gotten every other kind of award. You've worked with practically everyone. You're a man of deep faith. I want to talk about that because that's kind of how we met.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to keep going on your career here. So you're a young man, very young man, 16 years old, 17 years old, playing with another huge legend, Ralph Stanley.
The famous Stanley Brothers.
How did that go? How many years were you playing with Ralph Stanley?
Well, my mom and dad, we had gone to see the Stanley Brothers the next year after I had played with Bill Monroe. And so we kind of had met Ralph and Carter, and they let me get up and sing with them, you know, or do a song with them. And so anyway, we kind of knew each other. And so Keith Whitley and I met. Keith was a great, ended up being a really great, short-lived, unfortunately, country music artist himself, and just has recently, this past year, gotten inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. But he and I were friends. We like 17 days apart in our age. We met. Me and my dad was playing this little place, and we met Keith and his brother. They were playing as well, and So I invited Keith over to my house the next weekend, and from that weekend on, you know, we just knew each other, just played music with each other almost every weekend. You know, we'd be out of school and playing together, so we heard that Ralph Stanley had just hired a new lead singer that sounded just like his brother Carter that had passed away a few years before that. So we wanted to go see him. So, well, it was a little beer joint in West Virginia right across the river from Louisa, Kentucky, where I went to high school. So Dad took us over there, and Dad was one of those that you don't leave home without it. He should have got, you know, money from, you know, what's the card that don't leave home without it?
the card.
Yeah, the
I don't know nothing
card.
About well, those cards, yeah, but I know anyway. What you, I know what you
right.
mean.
American Express. So anyway, he always had us prepared, you know, just in case somebody asked us to get up and sing. Well, Ralph had made a phone call that his bus had a flat tire and they were going to be late about 35, 40 minutes. So this club owner, beer joint owner.
In the musician world, that's on time.
Oh, yeah.
And he was such a good man that he said, well, we don't want 35 minutes of dead air.
So. Right. Yeah, the natives were getting a little restless in that little beer joint. And so they come up to the table, and I don't know how they knew that we played, you know, because I'd never been in there before, and we'd never played there. But they asked us if we, you know, could get up and sing a few songs, you know. And so here again, Dad, you know, we go to the car and get the instruments, get up on stage, and we start playing and singing. And Ralph comes walking in, you know, in the band. I see him going to the dressing room with their, you know, with their instruments and everything. Well, Ralph doesn't go in the dressing room. He sits down on a bar stool and just eats up what he's seeing. You know, he's seeing these young kids, you know, 16 years old, singing Stanley Brothers songs, because that's really the only songs we knew.
Right,
we were singing his songs,
right.
You know. And I could see him in my right eye over there, and I was like, I was singing his part, you know, and it was so embarrassing, you know. But anyway, we met that night, you know, and from then on, you know, we would try to play with Ralph whenever we were out of school. If they were close enough, we'd drive and go. And then finally, when we got out of high school, he hired us full time. And it was a great place for me to grow. You know, Ralph's music is very mountain, very old time. And at a time when a lot of musicians would be wanting to play the newest, greatest, you know, most cutting edge bluegrass, I really wanted to insert myself in the dirt, in the ground, in the hills and the hollers. I really wanted to know more. Even though I was raised in that, there was something about the way he sang, you know, and the Stanley Brothers sang that always just touched me right in my spirit. You know, I just knew that they were singing truth. They were singing songs about heartache. They were singing songs about breakup. They were singing about real life.
Well, this is always the tension, and this is the tension really almost in any art, in any genre, the tension between the roots mm-hmm. and then where it's going and how you commercialize it. And in the Ken Burns's series on country music, in which you're prominently featured, it's interesting because he's constantly talking about that, how you've got the, you know, once it starts making money, people are all over it, and they got this new kind of sound. What do they call it, the Nashville sound, or am I confusing it with the Bakersfield sound? And, you know, but this kind of you get producers producing.
Right.
And, of course, the tendency is to produce away from those roots.
Right.
And so there's always that tension, and then it becomes a dialectic, let's call it, fancy word, right? Where so when Chet Atkins, you know, says that, you know, you save country music, I guess what he's talking about is that, you know, when a movie like Urban Cowboy comes out, there's this big surge in a certain kind of music, but it is pulling it away from those roots. And you always, for whatever reason, you love those American, those old roots, which are older than America, of course.
Well, you know, that scripture of honoring your fathers, you know, so that your days and mothers, so that your days go well with you and you'll prosper in the land, you know, that always rang true to me in my heart. I just knew that if I honored And I don't think it means your particular father or mother. I think it's fathers or mothers in the faith. I think it's fathers and mothers that pour into you musically. It's just honoring people that's above you and has lived longer than you have, you know, and there's something that you can get from them that will be beneficial in your life. That's the way I was raised. And so I wanted to keep the roots of that music alive, yet I added drums, I added steel guitar, I added piano, because I'd been with Emmylou Harris for the last couple of years, and I saw that that was working.
Now that was, and that's in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
So how did you connect with Emmylou Harris?
Well, I met her in Washington, D.C. when I was working in a band called The Country Gentlemen. I was living in Manassas, working for VEPCO, Virginia Electric and Power Company, and I worked there just to make a rent and a car payment for about 6 months. I got a raise, and then I got a job, and I said, see y'all later. I got
So you're 21 years old at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Yeah.
You're an old man of 21
you're
by
right.
now.
Yeah.
So,
I had to make a living.
So Emmylou Harris realizes she could use an instrumentalist such as yourself in her band.
Yeah, and someone that knew the old stuff. I met her one night. There was a guy in D.C. He was a doctor. His name was John Starling, and he worked at the Army Hospital there. And he loved old time music. Worked with the Seldom Scene group there, and so he would invite people like whoever was playing the Cellar Door or whatever big club there in Georgetown, he would invite people to come to his house and have a picking or a singing, And so he invited me to come over and said Linda Ronstadt was going to be there, that was in the 70s.
She was about as hot as any performer could be at that time. I mean,
yeah.
Linda Ronstadt was huge.
And Linda.
And also kind of connecting the pop and the roots.
The roots, right. And Emmylou knew Linda very well, but I'd never met Emmylou. She came in and just kind of squatted down on her knees in the floor, pulled out an old, Gibson guitar and started singing, and it was like, oh my God, this angel just walked in, with this voice. And so me and her and Linda was singing, singing harmony and stuff together on these songs. I knew so many old songs, and they wanted me to teach it to them, and here I was carrying the Stanley Brothers. I was carrying Bill Monroe. I was carrying that old Louvin Brothers even sound and in my heart, and they wanted to know it.
Well, it's just beautiful, and I'm glad I want to talk to you about your whole story. When we come back, I want to get into your faith mm-hmm. story, because you're a profound man of Christian faith, or a man of profound Christian faith, or both. And later on, maybe you'll pick up that instrument and see if you still have it, that thing that you've had over the years, that talent. We'll be right back. I think you'll stick around because, look who I'm talking to. We'll be right back.
Ever since you went away, I die a little more each day, 'cause I'm crying my heart out over you.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. As hard as it may be for us to comprehend here in America, there are people in other parts of the world whose very lives are being threatened simply for believing in Jesus. In fact, people are being enslaved for their faith. Some have been in bondage for 25 or 30 years. If you've been listening for any period of time, I'm passionate about the work of Christian Solidarity International, a ministry that sets these captives free. There are hundreds of thousands persecuted and enslaved in the Middle East. Together, we can literally buy their freedom and save the lives of some precious brothers and sisters this Christmas, giving them the joy and hope that we celebrate freely. For only $250, you can provide life-saving aid this Christmas. You can buy a believer's freedom and provide them with much-needed food, a goat, and other goods necessary for their very survival. These are brothers and sisters who are enslaved and fearing for their lives. Just $250. Maybe you can give more. Maybe a portion. Every gift helps. Imagine buying a fellow believer's freedom. Call 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Christian Solidarity, providing life-saving resources for persecuted Christians for almost 40 years. 888-253-3522 or metaxastalk.com and click on the Christian Solidarity banner. Give someone the gift of their freedom for Christmas. Thank you.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Ricky Skaggs, the legend. Not another Ricky Skaggs, but the Ricky Skaggs, the legend. Ricky, the reason you're here in New York, and I thank the Lord for this opportunity, is tonight you're going to be at Carnegie Hall playing with my friends Keith and Kristen Getty. They do an annual Carnegie Hall Christmas concert. And you were with them a few years ago. I remember you up there. But I think you were playing your fiddle, were you?
No, I was playing mandolin.
You were playing mandolin? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a trick of my memory. Yeah. I misremembered it. But you you live in the Nashville area these days, I assume?
Mm-hmm. I've lived in Hendersonville. It's a little suburb north of Nashville.
Yeah.
I've lived there since 1980. Yeah, I moved there in 1980, and so I've been living there a long time.
And your wife, I neglect to say, is Sharon White.
Sharon White of the Whites.
The Whites.
Another Grand Ole Opry members.
And, well, we'll talk about them in a few minutes and about her. But so just to go back, so in the 70s, you in a way were a bridge of this traditionalist world with, you know, Flatten Scruggs and Earl Stanley and Bill Monroe into what was happening in the 70s. And it's interesting because the 70s, you do see, you know, whether it's the Eagles or Linda Ronstadt, you're seeing a mixture happening and some of that music being brought into the mainstream, into the world, you know, to the pop charts.
Yeah.
I don't remember, I'm trying to think of others who were in that, but it's interesting, you know, to see whether it's Lynyrd Skynyrd or Alabama. I mean, they're just different things happening in a way. And so you were in the middle of all that, but you were still playing the traditional stuff yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I wanted to make sure that the mandolin and the banjo and the fiddle weren't mixed so far in the background that you couldn't tell what they were. You know, I wanted, and I got to, you know, that was one of the bargaining points. I really didn't have anything to bargain with except, you know, some demos that I had played for the head of CBS in Nashville at that time. But I just said, because they asked me who produced this stuff, and I said, well, I did, you know. And I said, if you like what you hear, I want you to let me continue to produce. Well, I'll have to get, you know, Larry Gatlin's the only artist we have. And I said, well, so there's a precedent set. Okay, so, you know, I really want to do it. And if we don't sell records and we don't get, you know, chart action happening, then I'd be willing to take a co-producer. But I was not going to let, you know, just for the sake of having a record deal, I was not going to let my hands come off the console and the
That
mixing,
is interesting.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting that you had that you felt that responsibility.
Yeah.
To those roots and to that kind of music. Yeah. When I watched the Ken Burns country music series, which was just delightful education, one thing that actually shocked me, I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for, at some point, for there to be some mention made of Glen Campbell. No mention, as if he didn't exist, or he was just was he too much of a pop star, or was there somebody who just said, you know, I won't be in it if he's in it? Or I mean, it really was so bizarre to me because I thought, of course, he was extremely popular, and you know, but sometimes purists sneer at what's popular and stuff. I mean, I just don't know if you knew how he was regarded in that world.
You know, I know all of my friends in country music absolutely loved Glenn, and Glenn absolutely loved bluegrass and loved, you know, Stanley Brothers, Bill Monroe, Flat Spurs. Yeah. He loved that stuff, you know. Hired one of my friends, Carl Jackson, a great banjo player, hired Carl to play in his band for, you know, for years. So they would do, you know, Gone, Gone, Gone by Jim and Jesse, you know. They'd do those bluegrass songs on stage, you know. Actually recorded it and had a single out on it, you know. So I'm surprised, too, you know, that there was – you know, there was others that, you know, that loved this music and that could have been, you know, very, we would think very important to
well,
country
it just,
music.
To me, you know, if you're going to mention Charlie Pride and Freddie Fender, I'm thinking you're going to get to, you know, like they really made a great effort to include all these folks. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it just was bizarre. Sometimes you just kind of scratch your head and you say, where can I get an answer to why he's not mentioned in there?
Yeah.
But again, when we're talking, you know, country and Western, it gets very broad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking about somebody like Buck Owens, the Bakersfield Sound, how do you, you know, it's difficult to kind of pull it all together and say this is it and this isn't it, or this is outside the line and this is, you know.
Yeah. Well, Buck had a sound. He didn't want to record in Nashville. He knew what Nashville sounded like. And Buck liked that top end, lots of mid range, not a whole lot of low end bass and that kind of stuff. There was just something about the way that he recorded his records. Even, you know, at Capitol Studios in Los Angeles, you know, he just had a sound, and when he went in to record, he wanted to make sure it sounded the way he wanted it to. And it, you know, and I'll tell you who was like the biggest fans. Was the Beatles, because they were on EMI, you know, in England, and as soon as they had sent a message to Los Angeles, the Capitol there, as soon as Buck Owens records anything, we want copies over here. We want to listen to it, you know. Ringo especially, but I mean, the whole band loved.
Well, I love the cross pollination. I mean, it's obvious that Elton John, whom I love, you know, connects to all that kind of country music and Bernie Taupin. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to, I believe it's Ricky Skaggs. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Hey, folks, you've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. So right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December 25th will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. Believe me when I say you'll get a great night's sleep. Their six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton. It comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically retails at $89.98, now just $39.98 with promo code ERIC. Limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use promo code ERIC. These offers will not last long. They're known to sell quickly. So order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC. Well, I'm talking to Ricky Skaggs. Ricky, you're in the studio with me, and I see that you have a, it looks to me like a perfectly good condition mandolin. And I don't know if it would be possible for you to peck out happy birthday to you or something like that. But
okay.
I didn't mean you to take that literally,
oh,
but
sorry.
Of course.
Yeah. Here's a tune I wrote not long ago, Ancient Tones. That shows my craziness for the old sounds.
Have you ever thought of going professional?
Thought about it.
I think
it.
It's time for you to make the leap. Stop living in the shadows and just step out in faith, brother. You got to step out in faith.
I've lived in faith for a long time.
I watch you playing that instrument, and I think to myself, you seem more comfortable with it than without it practically.
Yeah.
Like it's been a part of you for your whole life and then some practically.
Yeah.
We were just talking about all these different characters and the history of country music. You mentioned that the Beatles loved
Buck Owens.
What's interesting to me is there's certain things that it's the American-ness of certain folks like Buck Owens. When you talk, it's obviously you grew up in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't say took, you say tuck.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say sit, you say set. You know, there's something attractive about anybody's roots, really. And so there's something about American roots. And when you hear Buck Owens' voice, he has such a great singing voice. You want to hear his voice.
Oh,
and there are many, many vocalists like that. Yeah. You just think, I just want to hear his voice because I love his voice.
Yeah.
It sounds like America.
Yeah. And I think he was born in Oklahoma, and they was like migrant families that moved to California for work. But he carried that Oklahoma stank with him when he went to California.
That
he just had
Oklahoma
something.
Stank.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, George Jones is the ultimate example of this. His voice,
right. You
just think, why do I want to hear his voice?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just do.
Yeah. The two biggest musician fans in the whole wide world that loved George Jones more than anybody was Keith Richards and Elvis Costello.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you get this cross-pollination with, you know, the Stones and the early Beatles. You know, they're playing American blues, you know, and you think it's just so interesting how that cross-pollination, as we keep saying, it keeps happening over and over and over.
Well, think about it. There's the Monroe Brothers, Bill Monroe and his brother Charlie. They had this brothers duet.
Yeah.
They inspired the Stanley Brothers. The Stanley Brothers inspired Louvin Brothers. The Louvin Brothers inspired the Everly Brothers. And so the Everly Brothers are big inspirations to the Beatles, the Stones, all these English groups, you know. So I just still feel like it had a point of birth somewhere with Bill Monroe. And, you know, they call him the father of bluegrass music, but obviously he got inspired, you know, with people around him, you know. But, you know, it's amazing to see how this old music continues to have life. You know,
well, it's extraordinary. And, you know, I was talking about the voices of some people. When I think of Loretta Lynn, I think there's certain voices that are so American.
Yes.
And without a doubt, you know, June Carter Cash, there's something you can't put your finger on it, but it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's so in any event, you've worked with so many of these people. You didn't ever work with Johnny Cash, I don't think. I think I would have looked that up.
Well, we knew each other, and we lived there in Hendersonville together, and we went to their house quite a few times, you know, for dinners and just fun things. And he'd call me up. Sometime he'd say, Ricky, I'm in jail. And, you know, and what it was, he would go to the jail in Hendersonville and get locked up so that he could make phone calls from there and have people donate to the police department.
Are you
make
kidding?
Make donations. Said, they'll let me out of here, you know, if you make a donation. I said, okay, John, we'll do it.
Holy
no
cow.
Yeah,
what a blackmail artist Johnny Cash was. You're going to get the rest of the story. Oh, that's unbelievable. Well, I mean, I would have known that you would have known him. And, of course, he married into the first family of country.
Yeah.
The Carter family.
Yeah, June was amazing. Yeah, her and
she was. I mean, her story is, most people don't really know her story. I mean, she was a comedian. She was an actress. She was really an extraordinary figure.
Yeah, she was a star. I mean, just born a star.
Yeah.
You know, you could see it on those old Al Ganaway Grand Ole Opry shows that were shot in Technicolor. Have you seen those things? They're unbelievable.
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, they're incredible. And June would come on as June Carter, as a comedian. You know? But then she had sang with the Carter family when they would come out as well. You know.
Yeah.
But you could tell. You could just look at her and say she's got star all over her. She just commands something when she walks out. All eyes and all ears are on her.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We're running out of time again. We're gonna lock the doors and keep you for a second hour, Ricky. Did they tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in jail. You and Brother Johnny, we're all in jail together.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. When we come back, I want to talk to you about your faith journey. Because, you know, a lot of people say they're Christians, and a lot of people, especially in the country world, are Christians of some kind. But you're what I call a hardcore Christian, a fanatic like myself. And I want to talk to you about that. Yeah. I want to talk to you about a lot of stuff. So when we come back, I get to continue talking to Ricky Skaggs. Ricky, we're grateful for you and for your time. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir.
And folks, we'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. Alvin, because it's Christmas, I keep wanting to throw out Christmas gift ideas. Now, listen, maybe people think it would be self-serving for me to recommend my own books as Christmas gifts. But believe me, folks, I didn't write the books to make money. I wrote the books because God created me to be a writer and to tell these stories. I'm very proud of them. You can get most of my books. Well, you can get them anywhere, but you can get them at mystore.com. Which is Mike Lindell's website. There's all kinds of wacky products there, but mystore.com, you can get my books. You can get a Bonhoeffer poster, which, by the way, it's glorious. It's beautiful. It really is amazing. So I just want to recommend my books because I listen, if I could give them away for free, and sometimes I do, I want to get the word out to people about the heroes I've written about you know, the substance of our faith being how rational it is to believe in the God of the Bible. And so I wrote his atheism. So anyway, those are my books. But if you do go to mystore.com and you decide, well, maybe I don't want to get Eric's book today, there are a zillion other crazy products. Alvin, you and I are like laughing ourselves sick looking at these. They have the Tick Patrol tick remover.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't want a tick remover? Who wants ticks? Let's be honest. Very few people actually desire ticks. Well, the Tick Patrol tick remover, you can get it at mystore.com. Use the code Eric. And I'm not going to tell you about it because it's just too real. It's too real. But
is it tweezers maybe to get rid of the ticks?
No, it works.
stop ticks in their tracks with the Tick Patrol tick remover. Freedom 4-pack removes ticks head and all. A lot of these tick removers, you know, they just give you the semblance of tick removal. This removes the actual entire tick, head and all. So, you know, if you're a camper or you're on tick patrol, you know, this is important stuff, but there's all kinds of other stuff. They've got so many products. They have the Breathtaker tongue cleaner.
Oh.
They also have an amazing temporary tooth replacement. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
If you're missing a tooth, you have to go to mystore.com, browse around. Just don't forget to use the code Eric when you buy these things. But it says with amazing temporary tooth, that's the title. With amazing temporary tooth, it's easy to fill that missing tooth with a realistic looking tooth that is comfortable and will give you the confidence to smile again. This is not made up. There are 15 to 20 temporary teeth in every product. I think you have to look into this. All right. Now we need to get serious for a minute.
Yeah.
We keep saying this because we believe in it. If you really want to give a gift that is not goofy or not practical, but that's just beautiful, you can participate in freeing a slave. We are partnering with CSI, Christian Solidarity International. If you go to the link on our website, metaxastalk.com, whatever you give helps free slaves. This is real. We've talked about it on this program. I keep saying I want to encourage everyone, please, to participate. Whatever you give, your name goes into a hat, and we're going to send eight. We're going to draw eight grand prize winners. So if you just are a kid, or you just want to, you know, they want to give $10, we want to put all your names in a hat. Anybody who gives $10,000, I want to have dinner with you or spend the evening with you. I keep throwing that out there. Anybody gives $1,000, which will free four slaves, we want to reward you and thank you in person. When you come to the radio studio, we'd be delighted to have you there. But you have to go to metaxastalk.com. This is just the greatest Christmas gift, folks. Anything, any amount you give, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner right at the top of the page. Please be generous. This is an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.